back in 1965, still another mother cried as her son was sent off to a land called Charlie's Paradise. Billy was a soldier in the bush, he played for keeps. The enemy was all around, didn't Charlie ever sleep. Ordered up the hill one day to take it and make a stand. Billy never made it back, he was dealt with Charlie's hand. Maybe he's a lucky one, cause we still feel the pain of a thousand wounded players who took part in Charlie's game. He's one of a million unsung heroes whose story forever goes untold. He left his soul in numb, but his spirit still is on. He's walking with us on the last patrol. Walking with us on the last patrol.
The Last Patrol Radio Show is a program dedicated to my brothers and sisters who have and to those who are now serving America in the U.S. military, the police and security, firefighters and EMS. This is a veterans-to-veterans ministry. By God's grace, we're here to serve and to help bring the truth to you through the Word and the life of Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor Ted Marshall. I served as a dog man, that is a canine handler, in the U.S. Air Force Security Police in the Vietnam War. I know that the bond we as veterans have is very special, and we can talk to each other. This program is for you and your family. Let us ask for guidance from our Lord to inspire and to hear from Him on how much He loves you. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. The Last Patrol Radio Program is a Talk to Vets ministry, hosting guests from the Christian veterans community and the caring and loving people who bring information, loving gratitude for all of you who are our nation's finest treasure. Here in the home of the brave, you are the brave in that home. You and I have a lot to share on subjects we can learn from. Using the Perfect Operations Planning Manual, the POPM, also known as the Bible. Heart to heart, vet to vet, patriot to patriot, welcome home. The Last Patrol is about realizing that we have a mission that we're being called to. Each of us has a special place in this patrol. We have and are now continuing specialized training for this task and mission. This is a highly motivated and extremely skilled operations team with overpowering strength, courage, and leadership support. The air power as well, the universe knows none is awesome. The ground troops are all in the army of the Lord. We are God's warriors. Who can stand against us? Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. Proverbs 3:5-6. Walk with us on the last patrol. Hi, this is Pastor Ted Marshall. That, of course, is a song for the United States Coast Guard. We have a very special guest with us today, and they're talking to us from a very special American Legion post in Tampa, Florida. T.D. Parrish is the sergeant of arms at the American Legion in Tampa, Florida, and the commander is Bill Hammond. And today we're going to be discussing a very special event that's happening in Tampa, Florida, and that's the United States Coast Guard cutter Tampa is here. Very exciting reason, Wyatt. I'm going to let you guys explain a little bit about this. I've been reading on the history in this. It's remarkable. Here you guys are hosting a dinner for the crew. But the history of the U.S. Coast Guard Tampa goes a long way back. Who would want to be first on deck here?
Bill Hamlin, the commander of the post, USS Tampa Post 5.
Thank you, Bill.
That's me.
Okay. Tell us a little about your post and its significant connection with the U.S. Coast Guard Tampa.
Okay. The American Legion was started in 1919. There was a what they call a Missouri caucus where it all took place, and each representative from a state went back to their home and started a Legion post. We were the first one in Florida. Actually, we were known as the Victory Post. We received a full charter on 2 June 1919. Several months later, they changed the name to the USS Tampa. USS Tampa was a Coast Guard cutter that was called into naval service during World War I. A majority of the boys on board were from Florida. There were 24 from Tampa, 131 altogether. And on the night of September 26, 1918, it was on a leading a convoy into the Bristol Channel outside of Wales when a German U-boat torpedoed the Tampa. All hands lost, and it was the worst disaster and still is the worst disaster for the Coast Guard. If you look up the U.S. Coast Guard, they'll talk about the Tampa. But it was also the worst event that ever happened to the city of Tampa. You know, we're talking about 24 boys. When you look at Tampa today, the size of Tampa, and you think, you know, 24, that's nothing. But we're talking 1918.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa was a tiny town. Everybody in Tampa knew at least one person that was on board that ship. So we took that namesake in 1938 with a grant from the WPA, the Works Progress Administration, over with the FDR. We had a beautiful stained glass window. It's a standalone. It's not in the wall.
Mm-hmm.
It's a stained glass memorial for the Florida boys that were killed in the USS Tampa. It's at our post. It's 10 feet tall, 6 feet wide. We just had it completely redone. It's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. We're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 to 4. And anyone who wants to can come in and visit us and look at the stained glass. And also, we have the only standalone American Legion cemetery left in the world. It also happens to be the only veteran cemetery in Hillsborough County. And, of course, you're welcome to come out and take a look at that.
Bill, the unique partnership of the U.S. Coast Guard cutter Tampa and the community goes all the way back to the USS Coast Guard cutter coming to Tampa and participating in one of the big events, big yearly events in Tampa, and that's Gasparilla Days. And I know the Florida State Fair used to be right during that same time. It was Gasparilla as part of the ceremony. So the people really had a kinship to the USS Tampa, not only in namesake, but 29 of their own being on board that ship with them. So the city really fell in love with that ship and took it under their wing. And that has been a tradition for many years for the Coast Guard and up until World War One after the ship was sunk by the German submarine. Just some background on the USS United States Coast Guard Tampa. Right after the Titanic, the ship was sent up to do ice patrols to help protect the fleets up there, to be on the lookout for ice floats. And then, of course, in World War One, when it was commissioned, when the United States Navy commissioned it, they kept the same crew, and they had it refitted for with heavier guns, and also put crow's nests on the top of it so the lookouts could look for periscopes instead of ice. Interesting history on that ship. Now, let's move to today, and there is a United States Coast Guard Tampa cutter now, and it's in full operation. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, it's a Tampa number 4, and TD is in the Coast Guard Auxiliary. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about it?
Well, my understanding, it is the 4th edition of USS Tampa. It's an endurance class. It was built in, I believe, in 85. It bow thins 276 feet, I believe, draft at 14. As an endurance class, it's allowed to be out on open waters for a longer period of time than coming in to reestablish groceries and so forth. It does operate around the coastals of the United States. It interacts in the drug enforcement and human trafficking. One of our shipmates that is not right here at this moment actually served on the vessel as a auxiliarist, Coast Guard auxiliarist cook, and learned a lot about the newer vessel and its capabilities. There's a lot about the vessel itself, but I don't have that information in front of me.
Okay.
At this time.
We are, we're sorry to say Brian Gary was not able to make it to this interview. We hope to we'll pick it up with him a little bit later when he can. But Brian's a great friend of all of us. I've known Brian for over 30 years, and he's in the Boxing Hall of Fame. He's one of the top referees in the state of Florida, and he's also a very, very loyal Coast Guardman, and we appreciate all that Brian done. And Brian, we got you in our prayers, brother. We hope that things are going to be okay with you. You're a remarkable man, and you are a mentor to many.
Right, Mr. Marshall. There is other things about the USS Tampa, the first edition, being a double mast vessel that could sail and travel under power. So it can go by power of the wind and the power of its engines. And that the fact that the name of the USS Tampa wasn't the original name.
Right.
It was known as the Miami, which people down in Miami thought was outstanding and excellent, but it was named after the Indians up in the north, the Miami Indians. Because the cutter service at that time named after certain Indians. And a lot of people are not aware of that, and that the USS Miami, when it got changed designator to the Tampa, it didn't go through the proper decommission and recommission underneath the sailors' superstition.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
Because of the superstition, on February 1st of 1916, the Miami changed to the Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
But usually when you do things like that, you have to recommission a vessel and then christen it. Well, when it changed its name, it didn't. And usually when people don't go through that type of ceremony, as a superstitious, bad things happen. And, of course, as we know, in 1918, a terrible thing happened on its last patrol there towards the end of the war. So I just wanted to let you know there are some superstitious and rituals that we do in the service of the Navy and Coast Guard and Merchant Marines. There are things that we have to follow.
Well, there a standard protocol. You know, there is there may be some malice to that. We understand that the original notifications of when the ship
was sunk was delayed because of they were just worried about what the reaction was going to be in Tampa. So many people lost. It seems like it said that everybody in the town knew each other. It was a small town, as you said, is
most definitely. It was
about 16,000 people. Yeah,
approximately 16,000 individuals in Tampa back in 1918. So everybody around Tampa knew someone on the vessel, especially since it was a small community, and it was 24 members of the Tampa area that was lost out of the 35 from Florida.
Right, right.
So that is a big deal back then. And again, like I said, it was the biggest disaster in the Navy history and one of the biggest situations for the city of Tampa itself, especially how rich the history in Tampa is.
Tampa, Florida, for those that have never been here, is a beautiful city. But one of the unique things about Tampa is it has history. And military history in Tampa is something that needs to be preserved. There are so many things that are going on that have happened here in Tampa that people don't realize. There was actual battles out here in the bay, and not just from World War I, but Civil War, and even World War II, there's been battles out there. We've got a couple U-boats that were sunk out in the Gulf of Mexico. And what I understand is one of them actually washed up on shore here after it was scuttled. A lot of history. And one of the important things about history, folks, and the gentleman here can really attest to this, is that if we do not know the history of our nation and appreciate the sacrifices of those who served America and our allies, we may lose our legacy and forget.
Well, what happens is if you don't know where you've been, you don't know where you're going.
Isn't that true? And we all need to make sure we can check our compass and our bearings. Tell us about some of the events that are going on this week and with your crew and the Tampa and what's happening. And yearly, is this the first time the Tampa has been back? How long has it been since the U.S. Coast Guard Tampa has been here in Tampa?
Well, the answer to that question, within the last decade, the Tampa has visited the port here.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, as a Coast Guard cutter, they get stationed all over different areas and do different assignments.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes the protocol will be a very long time between the crew coming back to a protocol here in Tampa. I mean, as we know, here in the future, the USS Tampa 4th Edition 901 is being decommissioned shortly after its last cruise. And then there'll probably hopefully be a version 5 coming.
Any plans on where that ship's going to go?
We'd love to see it come to Tampa. Have it as a museum.
That would be outstanding, right along the Liberty ship that's out there now. That would be a great
American
idea.
American Victory.
Yes.
Most people don't know that here in Tampa itself, they built ships during the war. Also, like World War II, they built concrete vessels.
Two
of them stands at Centurions over there at the beach of Normandy where they were sunk. We have the seventh largest port in the United States. But go back on the history of the USS Tampa and the events coming up. There was a period of time before the Great Depression where they marched from, I believe, where was that, Mr. Hamlin?
Commander? From the old City Hall down to what's now Garrison Terminal. But that's in September. What we're doing right now is this is mostly done. This is actually, these events were set up by the History Center, Tampa History Center, and Nancy Turner. And what they wanted to do was celebrate the fact that the USS Tampa 100 years ago was leading the charge against the pirates during Gasparilla.
It's Captain Gasparilla.
And then, of course, it was lost. But they're not doing a memorial. They're doing a celebration. And it's going to kick off. The Tampa should be, they were going to come in the port here, but things change. You know, you're dealing with the U.S. government.
Mm-hmm.
They're going into St. Pete, to the Coast Guard Center there, on Friday, February 2nd. And hopefully they'll allow some people out there to take a tour of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then on Saturday the 3rd at 10 a.m., there's going to be a ceremony down at the History Center next door at a little park.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do an unveiling of their mural, beautiful mural that they had done. And we're going to have a ceremony, the wreath throwing, and the reading of the names and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll take place, say, 10 a.m. on Saturday. It's going to be, again, it's going to be a celebration and a memorial service all together. Then on Sunday, Post 5 here is having a reception for the crew and officers of the Coast Guard cutter Tampa and some invited community leaders. And hopefully that'll come off really big. We've been working on that part of it quite a bit. Our thing is going to be done on the 23rd of September. This is what we're planning. It's in the planning stage. I've already talked to the mayor about it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do like we did during the teens up until the crash of 29. We're going to have a contingency leave the old City Hall, Kennedy in Florida. Not necessarily going to walk. Some will walk. Some will have walkers. Some will have canes, wheelchairs, and vehicles. Whatever mode that you can do. And we'll walk down the Garrison Terminal, which is about a quarter of a mile,
uh-huh.
where the Tampa used to berth. It's, if anyone's familiar out there with the way Harbor Island is, there was only one bridge going over there at the time, and the Tampa used to be able to berth there. Well, now there's two bridges, and you can't get in. And people were complaining, well, we won't have a ship for this ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's kind of fitting because, true, we don't have a ship. It's 3,300 feet of water.
That's right. That's right.
So we're going to go down to an empty berth, which is, to me, is fitting. Again, we have a very large wreath. It's a life ring with crossed anchors, which is the in the Coast Guard colors. And we're going to throw it in the water and, again, ring the bell and read the names as a memorial service for the boys that were lost on that ship.
Well, you guys have a lot of things to do this weekend and a lot of things you're planned. We're going to try to keep abreast of what's going on and keep you guys in our hearts. And also, is anything we can do on our end as far as getting the word out through our radio show, you are more than welcome to call us at any time if you have any updates or anything that you want to add to it or any special events that you need to talk to. I'm looking forward to meeting with you guys real soon, and we're going to also just this Tampa is a great town. It's a it's of course it's home of MacDill Air Force Base. Drew Army Air Force Field used to be here, which is now Tampa International Airport. There's also a whole history of, our former President Teddy Roosevelt and the Rough Riders staying right there in Tampa, right there at the Plant Hotel, which is now...
A lot of people forget that there was also Henderson Field.
Absolutely, that's right.
Between 30th and 40th Street, just north of Busch Gardens.
Yeah, right. We're in the area of University of South Florida, in that area there, and where the Budweiser plant used to be.
Yeah, that was a big field up there also, a training field.
Mm-hmm.
You had some of your big hotels like the Biltmore billeted a lot of the visiting officers mm-hmm. that came down, the pilots and everything, so... A lot of history here, a lot, and it's relatively new history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not talking Revolutionary War or anything. We're talking basically around the beginning of the Civil War when Tampa really took hold, and because
back in the 1890s, there were only 5,500 people in Tampa. So it was a little tiny community.
It's a yeah.
But Bill, also, you know, to add on to what you were saying, not just the Civil War, but the Seminole Indian Wars.
Yeah.
Second, and third. I mean, Tampa was brought up in that, too, you know, like...
Mm-hmm.
Where Tampa itself is a derivative from the Native American Indians that used to stay here. It used to be called the Land of Sticks. A lot of people didn't realize that the Native American Indians mm-hmm. from that aspect, you know, when they were tearing down the mound, downtown where the arena is and everything, they had to remove an Indian burial ground from there.
Mm.
That's where parking garage, exactly where the parking garage is now. And they via the Seminole Indians, but at that time, it was a total different tribe because the Seminole Indian means mixed Indian tribe, coming from the Trail of Tears and so forth, of moving the Plains Indians,
escaped slaves.
The Plains Indians to the state of Florida after we got it from General Jackson when he purchased it from President Jefferson when he purchased it from Spain. So, again, there is so much rich history here. There's so much history out there in the Hillsborough River between Laurie Park and the dam where mm-hmm. they actually found a Spanish vessel, I believe, when they were fighting against the Seminoles.
They found a Civil War vessel.
A couple things in modern history that people may not be aware of, just a couple side notes here. The first street preaching was done by Billy Graham, was done here in the streets of Tampa. And there's a plaque out there over by the State Building. I believe it's Scott Street, right around there, where the plaque were on this spot. Billy Graham gave his first message and his first street ministry right there, started his first ministry. Also, at the university grounds, University of Tampa, there's a special plaque that I like also. And on this spot, Babe Ruth hit the longest measured home run.
Right. And again, like back with the American Legion and mm-hmm. USS Tampa there, Mr. Marshall, is that the Pledge of Allegiance of the flag here at the American Legion Post 5, we're all about patriotism. We're also about our history and stuff, and that our outstanding commander, Bill Hamlin, came up with a play called The Journey of the American Flag to reintroduce the information and history of our American flag and how it's changed over the years and how Mr. Bellamy,
Francis Bellamy,
who wrote the Pledge of Allegiance mm-hmm. And put it in the school system, actually was here in Tampa his last few years off of Bellcrest Street, right?
No, he was off Wallcraft. And he worked at Tampa Electric last seven years of his life. It was Francis Bellamy.
So, I mean, we get that out there to the students so they can start learning and why we stand up for the flag and what the flag really means. And we're really hoping that our school system does not take the flag down like they talk about so many different times.
Well, hopefully American people are finally starting to realize and wake up and understand that our history is trying to be erased from us. On my show, I like to let people know what the truth is behind the history, but we also need to know what the truth is behind those that want to erase it from us. We know so many things in our heritage and our forefathers and those that stood and bled and fought for this great country need to be recognized and remembered. And
our strong religious value. I mean, like with the Journey of the Flags
mm-hmm.
and the word under God, Bill could tell you about that, about the word under God being put into it by Congress.
1854.
And who decided to put that in there?
That was the Knights of Columbus.
The Knights of mm-hmm. Columbus. How's that?
You know, as a pastor, we have a duty to not only tell the truth of our Savior Jesus Christ and how important God is to have in your life. But we also need to make sure that those that are out there that are sending that message and bringing that message are still allowed to, that still have that freedom to speak, that still have that freedom of religion, the freedom of speech, and all that freedom There's a saying that goes, and I'm gonna tell you, it's the veteran, not the preacher, who gave us freedom of religion. It's the
veteran, correct.
Not the reporter, who has given us freedom of press. It's the veteran, not the poet, who has given us freedom of speech. And it's the veteran, not the campus organizer, who has given us freedom to assemble. It's the veteran, not the lawyer, who has given us the right to a fair trial. It's the veteran, not the politician, who has given us the right to vote. It's the veteran who salutes and serves under the flag and whose coffin is draped by the flag.
Amen. Yeah. I'll tell you, you mentioned something about history. And what I always tell people is, in history, there are true events, not necessarily true facts. We make the facts what we want it to be. It started with Bunker Hill. Everyone knows the famous Battle of Bunker Hill. However, it was never fought on Bunker's Hill. It was fought on Breed's Hill. Just different things in our history that they changed to make us look better than what we are. I mean, you know, we're human beings. We make mistakes. Let's live up to them. Let's not change history to the way we like it. But unfortunately, they're doing that, if they teach history at all.
One of the important things is to all of us is the education of the truth. We see people using an agenda sometimes to stretch the truth, or to not only just stretch the truth, but ignore the truth and not even report what the truth is. General,
well,
I don't
know.
Go ahead.
They started taking away our rights. I remember when I was a kid, every morning we did a prayer
mm-hmm.
to God. And we did, and out loud, not to ourselves.
Yep.
We did a salute the flag and did the Pledge of Allegiance. Today they don't do that. However, there is prayer in school. Ask anyone who was in Columbine. Ask anybody just this week in Kentucky where kids were killed. You better believe there was probably a lot of praying going on in the schools. And I'd like to see somebody try to stop that.
One of the unique things that happened in Columbine and some of the other, your high school kids will have nothing to do with police officers. It's just something they would rather not even acknowledge exist.
Oh, I know. I'm a retired police officer.
Until the wolf shows up. And
yeah.
The SWAT teams that were going through the halls there in Columbine had to physically peel off the screaming and horrified kids so they could continue on and try to find the shooter. They clung to him, you know, like a remora or like a leech. That's the way they felt.
I went through several riots here in Tampa,
mm-hmm.
One at Hillsborough High School and then a few days later at Plant High School. And it was the same way. I was in the school and kids just all over me.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to quell this riotous situation that was going on, and yet we're again, you're peeling kids off you because they look to you like their guardian, which we were.
The shameful thing that's happening now is by the negativeness that we're hearing about, you know, that they're being propagandized about the police. So when if a kid's in trouble, he's going to be afraid to go to a cop. He's going to be afraid to go to anybody in uniform because they've been stigmatized with such falsehood. And that just leads to disaster. You're going to have a lot more suffering because of that stigma. Because of that, we have a few minutes left on our program to talk to you. And General, I want to thank you so much again for what you're doing here. Going to give you a little open floor. If there's anything you would like to voice or talk about, please go right ahead.
Well, I believe we cover quite a bit, but right now this is T.D. Parrish representing the Department of Florida Korean War Veterans Association. As we know that our seniors, veterans there, are leaving us by large amount of numbers, just like World War II is, and like our Vietnam. So, again, I would request all junior veterans to get with their senior veterans, learn their information, get involved with the organization before the organization is gone, to get the rich history from our seniors before we lose our seniors.
We have a gentleman here at the post that's 101. He was at Pearl Harbor. I think TD went over with you before. This man, you know, we read about history. This man lived it. So, but again, I want to emphasize that Post 5 on Kennedy Boulevard, just west of Dale Mabry. We're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 to 4. And we love it when people stop in and we'll show you the stained glass and tell you some more about our history. And just if you want to come out, come on out, please.
And this American Legion Post 5, USS Tampa, is a very family-oriented post. We are here for our juniors, our seniors, our kids, and our spouse. So we have the auxiliary, which is the women, wives, and daughters of the American Legion, and then we have the sons of the American Legion, and then we also have the riders of the American Legion, those who like the motorcycles, that do a lot of service for being there for the veterans when they return back from overseas. When they passed away, they do the ride for them and guard the casket and all types of sorting things. And at American Legion Post 5 here on Kennedy and Del Mabry, we are the post with the heart, even if it is a post-mortem Purple Heart for the loss of the crew of the USS Tampa. But we also have a big heart, and we participate in a community by with charity such as the Metropolitan Fund. We have given $1,000 during Christmas. And then for the Baltimore Lopez military home north of us, we provided outside furniture and money for them, which Baltimore Lopez was a student at Hillsborough mm-hmm. High School and a Medal of Honor. We also had Angus R. Goss, who was a warrant officer in the United States Marine Corps, hoorah, that was also a Hillsborough graduate, who received the highest award from the Queen of England, from the British, I can't get the words out of the mouth, but from the Brits, he mm-hmm. received the highest award for them to us. And he was put in for the Medal of Honor, but it was downgraded to the Navy Cross. Those are just a few words. And as a graduate from Tampa, Tampa Bay Tech, go Titans. And being raised in Tampa all my life here, I am proud to be a constituent of Tampa, and I'm proud to have served for Tampa. I served in the Gulf War, the first one, and I'm still here, and I am still going strong.
You brought up something very important, and that is for the younger vets like yourself, us older guys at the Vietnam vets and the Korean vets and the World War II vets, our history. I think you guys know Lieutenant Colonel Linda Pugsley, who was a Vietnam nurse. I think you guys know
her. Yes, we sure do. I love what her speech and what the boys were fighting for, like she said.
Absolutely. Linda is one of our closest friends, our family here, and she took me under her wing many years ago when I first came to her church, and she had me teaching Sunday school and eventually became a pastor. She's a remarkable person, but I tease her mercilessly all the time. We're always teasing each other back and forth. And I told Lynn, I said, next time you go to a military, you better be careful next time you go to a military museum, Linda. And she goes, why is that? I said, because they're going to ask you to stay.
Well, we just had Linda Pugsley out here when we had a ceremony for a Blue Christmas event.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a terrible situation nationwide that we have a high suicide rate.
Yes.
Approximately 22 a day is what's been stated, and that was coming from not all state participants, but a few of the states that participated, and it came up to be a number 22. Well, we did a Blue Christmas here for veterans, counseling veterans, with Tony Williams, that is the mm-hmm. Chairperson on that, and Linda Pugsley was our guest speaker and our did the benediction. And we letting those family members know when they lose their spouse or their significant others due to suicide, they're not shunned away. They're more than welcome to come.
We do a special Memorial Day.
And we also do mm-hmm. a special Memorial Day for them so they don't feel left out. You know, there's this stereotype that when someone commits suicide, they're no longer welcome in the military community. That is not true. Our arms are always open for them. We have counselors, we have information, and all types of things. It's about love, and it's about giving back to one another, even to our lost.
Well said. Well said, and it's so important that people understand that the brotherhood and sisterhood that we have as former service people and continuing service in armed forces is something that's with you for a lifetime, that serves that wanting to go out and be able to reach and help our brothers and sisters and their families. It's all one big family. And we're including in that all those that, you know, even this older folks that they didn't even have a name for PTSD and different things like this. We include us all. We all fought together, bled together, and still some are suffering. And we need to reach out and first of all, let them know, first of all, that we care about them, we love them, and also if there's ways that we can help, that we will find ways to help each other. No man, no woman left behind. And that,
exactly, and that's our motto, and we're not going to let anybody fall between the cracks. And again, with like I stated, retired Major Tony Williams in the United States Army has started as a counselor himself, master's degree in counseling, has gone out of his way to start a new pilot program right here from Tampa, because Tampa is the spearhead of a lot of things with Veterans Corps and female homeless veterans, mm-hmm. who started here. We are the spearhead here, and he's trying to get this within American Legion to be more awareness about suicide. It is not a nation problem. It is down in the community problem. And we can only start here at home, and then we can spread outwards.
Well, thank you so much today for your time. Commander, anything left that you need to say before we say goodnight or goodbye?
Commander had to step out. He had to take another call.
Oh, okay.
Brian did call in. He said he does apologize for missing out on this interview. He will get back with you as soon as he can. He says, God bless you, and thank you for being there for us. And I'm back again.
Okay, Commander. Well, is Brian okay? That's the first thing I want to ask. Is he okay?
Okay, and I misunderstood. He is doing business with a whole bunch of these cardiologists.
Oh,
I thought he was the business end, the patient end, but he's actually doing business. So he's not on sick call. I do contract that.
Whew, that's good. Prayers are answered very quickly.
A man's healthy as a horse.
He is. He's an incredible guy.
Yeah, you know, the horse says, get off my back. Let me get on yours.
Commander, we want to thank you for your time this afternoon. We're looking forward to meet you real soon.
All right, good.
And we'd like to come down and talk to you guys. And just to let you know a little bit about our Last Patrol Radio Show and the Veterans Radio Ministry, this is a veterans-to-veterans ministry, but we include firefighters, police, EMS, all those that are serving on that front line.
And first responders.
The first responders, that's all included, and their families, and important of all is all those patriots that support, love, and protect, help.
Yeah, that's what we do. You know the Bayshore Patriot? Ones that wave the flag.
Yes, yes.
Bay and Bayshore?
Yeah.
I'm the president and co-founder of that. And Post 5, just a lot of our members belong to it. So we're out there for the first responders.
Well, I'd love to have an interview with you guys about the Bayshore Patriots. They've been around for a long time now.
Yeah, 15 years.
Yes, yes.
Well, you're more than welcome to come down and talk to us anytime. If you got any other questions about any other major events that we do and are spearheading and doing,
in
our show, our Journey of the American Flag, we will do that for your people out there. And
free of charge.
And free of charge.
Oh, we would love to do that. Gentlemen, I'm planning on doing at our church up here at Trinity Church. I would love to be able to have a presentation like that as part of the program.
Memorial Day, we wouldn't be able to make it.
Yeah, I'm thinking on that week or sometime of that week on a.
It's always a good one.
We'll try to make it any time that we can. March 24th might be a good one. Maybe after we do the thing at the park, maybe we can do something that evening at the church. We'll get in touch with you and see what we can do.
All right, and if you can, it's not like Ted Kennedy said. I mean, not Ted. JFK said, not ask what your country could do for you, but what you could do for your country. I believe that is one of my major motto that I believe in.
Thank you. Well said, gentlemen. God bless you both. Looking forward to see you. Good news that Brian's all right. And what I'll do is, like I said, we'll be getting this put together and sent back to you guys. Stand by for a second, and I just want to sign off. Thank you, folks, for listening to the Last Patrol Radio Show, and we'll be back shortly. Hi, this is Pastor Ted Marshall. I want to thank you again for listening to our show. Before we go, I just want to mention a couple of things that we're looking at in our discussion on education. I recently finished a book. It was by William Least Heat Moon, and it's called Blue Highways. Great book. There was a follow-up book that was also loaned to me by a good friend, and Ed Venere loaned me the two books, and it was a follow-up photograph of where this man traveled. He had traveled around our country in a Ford van and had a chance to go all the way around the country, and he tried to make it by going on what they call the blue highways. Not your major roads, but your ones that aren't the big green superhighways or the interstate system, but the back roads, the old U.S. 21s and the old U.S. 50s and 101s and the old roads that are still able to navigate. And he would meet people along the way, and he wrote this book all about that and all about the people that he met. And the follow-up book, of course, is a photographic revisitation years later of those same spots, and some of those spots, of course, were gone. But one of the people that he had met, her name was Alice Vanderbilt Middleton. She was an older lady that used to be a school teacher. And she has a quote on education I'd like to read to you. This is from an old-time school teacher that lived on an island on the Chesapeake Bay. See, in the school of thought, learning rules is useful, but it isn't education. Education is thinking, and thinking is looking for yourself and seeing what's there, not what you are told was there. Then you put what you see together, and it's more difficult to get kids today to look for themselves. They want their vision to be television, eyeballs. I said to them, once you use your own eyeballs, you start working, and then you can see what's around you, and you can see history. Isn't a thing of the past. History is living each day. If you've ever taken the time to travel around this country and go the back roads and meet people that you've never met before and listen to the stories, if you have a chance that you go and read things, take a look at some of those historical markers. You'll be surprised at some of the things you're going to learn. Like I mentioned in this interview about the plaque that's there at the University of Tampa where Babe Ruth hit the longest measured home run. Nobody would know about that. I mean, there's no big, it's not a big tourist area. It just happens to be a marker. Also in this book with William Lee's church, some of the things and notes. This is one of the, sometimes when I get a book, I make notes. I'll write things down. And that way I can go back to it later. Something that struck me that I need to write this down. In the book, Blue Highways, one of the notes that I wrote down that was kind of important, it says, a man who makes peace with the new by destroying the old is not to be honored. Boy, that says a lot. A man who makes peace with the new by destroying the old is not to be honored. How many times have we seen places of history being torn down? Not only physically being torn down, but being erased from history book. Photographs not being shown. Places of existence, even the physical existence, of course, being torn down to be made into something else. Maybe a McDonald's, who knows. Personally, the place where I grew up, where my grandfather had his property in West Palm Beach off a military trail, a lot of acreage there. His right where his house used to be, where I used to play in the yard out there in the big backyard where the kennels were, where they raised greyhounds, and we had rabbits, and we had all kinds of dogs and cats around all the time. That's a McDonald's parking lot, and there's a McDonald's there right where the house used to be. That whole area has just become urbanized. The only thing that's left, if you go around the side of the McDonald's, there is a dirt road that goes back quite a bit. And off to the right-hand side is the undeveloped area, just like it was. It's maybe a half acre growth and trees and a little canal that ran next to it. And that's the way it used to be. Everything else has changed. Any traveler who misses the journey misses about all he's going to get. So you see, the importance of being quiet. A noisy man doesn't hear God, but he listens to himself. When we make those journeys, when we're looking at history, and we're seeing, even though if we're standing in a spot, and it's, oh, this is a nice spot, if we don't know the history of all the things that have happened there, we are missing so much. So many things that can enrich our life. When we look at the Bible, and we read the history, people go to Israel, and they'll walk in the steps or walk in places where Jesus walked. Or they'll go to the Lake of Galilee, Sea of Galilee, and they'll stand on the shore where Jesus was. If they didn't know that, if they had no idea of that history, it would just look like another body of water, wouldn't it? Or if they're walking down those narrow cobblestone streets where Jesus walked and where he carried that cross and the stops he had to make along that way on his way to Calvary, there would just be blocks of stones and old buildings. There would be no history to it. We have to understand it's biblical. By learning from the past, by knowing the truth of the past, by being able to relate and understand what the Bible tells us about the history, what the New Testament tells us about Jesus Christ and his life, and the followers of Jesus Christ and Paul and all of those that followed, and what their lives were like and the places that they went, has meaning. And it's so important that we read it, that we open our minds and our hearts to let the Holy Spirit in so we can understand it. This is Pastor Ted Marshall. Thank you so much for listening to the Last Patrol Radio Show.
Come and listen in to the radio station where the mighty hosts of heaven sing. Turn your radio on, turn your radio on. If you want to hear the songs of Zion coming from the land of endless spring, get in touch with God, turn your radio on, turn your radio on, and listen to the music in the air. Turn your radio on, heaven's glory share. Turn your lights down low, and listen to the Master's radio. Get in touch with God, turn your radio on. Brother, listen in to the Glory Land chorus. Listen to the glad hosannas roll. Turn your radio on, get a little taste of joy awaiting, get a little heaven in your soul, get in touch with God, turn your radio on, turn your radio on, and listen to the music in the air.
Hi, this is Pastor Ted Marshall. Thank you for listening to The Last Patrol Radio Show. The Last Patrol Radio Show is a production of Veterans Radio Ministries. Veterans Radio Ministries is a ministry of Great Hope Christian Fellowship Church in Tampa, Florida. You can reach us by going to veteransradioministries.com. Again, that's veteransradioministries.com. If you'd like to contact us, please do so. Thank you for supporting and thank you for listening to the Last Patrol Radio Show. Tell your friends about it. Email your friends about it. Text them. Twitter, tweet, whatever you do, but spread the word of Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to The Last Patrol.
We were proud to call him brother. We were proud of what he'd done. Would it have been any different if America had won? Not too late to thank him or tell him that you miss him. You can tell him that you love him, touch his name upon the wall. One of a million unsung heroes, whose story forever goes untold. He left his soul benumbed, but his spirit still